podcast today goes everywhere, from horses on the highway to the budget for the, you know, tuck and shove or whatever, the transgender underwear that the White House now wants us to buy, that's in our new budget. No, they've trimmed right to the bone. But if you need any of that transgender underpants, the government's there for you. We talk about that, all the way to red heifers and our just lack of understanding of everything that's going on today's podcast right after this. The founders of this country understood that freedom is never more than a moment away from vanishing in an unarmed population. That's why they created the Second Amendment. I believe in that freedom and that responsibility that we have protected by the Second Amendment. But not every emergency is the same. Sometimes, you know, like my daughter does not like guns. Okay, great. But I want her to be safe. That's why at Christmas I gave her a Byrna launcher. It has a really effective stopping power. 60 feet away, you can hit them. And you can use they have pepper gas rounds. But they also have tear gas rounds that I recommend she put in, because that'll stop somebody for about 40 minutes. So you have somebody coming at you, you have something going on, somebody's coming towards your car, you can just roll your window down just a little bit, boom, be within 5 feet of them, and it's tear gas. Maybe you could get out of that situation. I highly recommend this. It's the Byrna Launcher, BYRNA.com/Glenn. Byrna.com/Glenn. Get an exclusive 10% discount now on the launcher. Byrna.com/Glenn.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Let's welcome Congressman Thomas Massie. Thomas, how was your sleep last night? I bet you slept like a baby.
I slept like a baby. I cried for 2 hours and I slept for 2 hours. I cried for 2 hours, slept for 2 hours. Over the omnibus.
Oh my gosh. First of all, how does your office go through a bill like this?
We call it Control F. Control F that sucker, which is, you know, hotkey for searching it, finding things in it. And now not only do you have to search the bill text, there are addendums that aren't even in the bill that are just as long as the bill that list things like the earmarks. So you've got to go get other documents to find out what's in it.
Are people going to vote for this?
You know, there's a real question of whether a majority of Republicans will vote for it. I think almost every Democrat's going to vote for it, and that in itself should be damning. Some of the earmarks that we see in it are funding venues that have drag shows, drag queen shows that include children, training for how to transition without consent of parents involved, all the way down to ages 13, proms. Gay proms for ages 12 to 18 with rooms off to the side in case it's just too much out there at the prom. Just crazy stuff in this.
Well, it'd be interesting to see. What do you think about Johnson's handling of all of this? I mean, I thought this was what we were fighting against.
Well, you know, he's our general, but I think he's been captured by the swamp. We had lots of options here. We had the thing in law. It's still in law. It will be gone after today, but it's still in law. The 1% automatic cut. If we just did a CR, past April 30th, all of the programs get cut 1% and nobody gets an earmark. That should have been the speaker's default position, and he should have drugged these SOBs past April 30th and into that condition, and then he could have negotiated that. These guys would run over their own mother to get their earmarks. He could have negotiated some stupid little earmarks to get some border security or something.
Well, speaking of border security, I mean, yesterday was pretty good. right? So, I mean, look at all the young women and families and children that came scuttling across our border yesterday. I thought they did it with respect, and especially all those nursing babies.
It's so demoralizing to see people in U.S. uniforms being overrun and given terms of engagement that basically say surrender to the invaders. It was demoralizing for our country.
And it's demoralizing for the troops. These guys, if you're going to put them in harm's way, let them do what they're supposed to do and defend themselves. This is now the National Guard at the border means nothing. It was a photo op the whole time. If they can't do what they're supposed to do, then pull their asses out. And I'm directing that to Greg Abbott.
Yeah, amen. And we honestly, we should have our own forces there at the border stopping this, but they need to have rules of engagement that aren't, as you said, just photo op rules of engagement. It makes our country look weak, and it just invites more people to come to the border.
Why are we giving, what is it, 500? How much did I say that was, Stu? Hundreds of millions of dollars to Jordan and Egypt to be able to protect their borders. Why are we paying for that?
It makes no sense. There's also $300 million in this omnibus for Ukraine.
You know, I wanted to have you on today to talk about your resolution, your amendment that you want to add to the Constitution, which, I mean, it has no chance of passing, Thomas, because there's no common sense anymore. And the press, I saw when you suggested this, I'm all in. And the press ran headlines like, GOP now wants to control your food. What?
Right.
What?
Or that I'm for listeria and E. coli or something like that. Look, what I did is I threw out there a constitutional amendment, and I put a little bit of thought into it, because when basically a constitutional amendment that guarantees your right to be able to grow food and to purchase food from the sources that you want, because right now we've descended into this corporatocracy where four companies control all the meat, a few cooperatives control all of the milk. We see Amish farmers just living off the land, selling to people, going to jail, having all of their food confiscated. Our founding fathers, I don't think, ever contemplated us getting to this point. And so they didn't put this in the Bill of Rights because it was just too obvious. But I think we need something like this now. I ran it by Mike Lee before I threw it up there on social media. I'm looking for a Democrat co-sponsor because I think that's key. And it's hard to draft a constitutional amendment that doesn't do something accidental. For instance, my first version of this, I thought, man, this is great. And I read it and I'm like, no, the left is going to say this guarantees everybody's right to food stamps. And that's not what I want to do.
Jeez.
So
this actually stems from this Amish guy who's been arrested, is being hassled by the, I don't know, FDA, FBI, I don't know, some three-letter agency that now, thinks that they can, go in with a SWAT team to an Amish farmer. And this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and this is, they've harassed him multiple times. This time, I believe it's over milk sales. Before, it was over beef. He's not the only Amish person. There are other ones who are being prosecuted. There's a guy, I think it's Samuel Fisher in Virginia, who's being prosecuted. And so I came up with this amendment, and let me read it. It's pretty short. The right of the people to grow food and to purchase food from the source of their choice shall not be infringed. And Congress shall make no law regulating the production and distribution of food products which do not move across state lines. It's a very tight and compact amendment, but it covers a lot of things in there. First of all, I'm trying to basically get the feds out of the meat processing that's local, that's just intrastate. That's what the second clause is about. Congress shall make no law regulating the production and distribution of food products. And, you know, it's a shame I have to do that. But anyways, we got this big meat oligopoly that's enabled and enhanced by the USDA, the overregulation. They just regulate all the little guys out of it. But the first clause here, the right of people to grow food, you know, you have a right to political speech, for instance. Whatever, you know, your city or can do an ordinance and whatever, but they can't keep you from putting a sign up in your yard saying who you're going to vote for. I think you should be able to grow tomatoes without getting thrown out of your house, for instance. And then one other thing that this amendment covers, your ability to purchase food from the source of your choice. Now, this is the people who bought food from Amos Miller in Pennsylvania. They did cross state lines. But that food did cross state lines, I'm told. But the people who bought it knew what they were buying, and you should never be deprived of the ability to have a contract between two consenting adults to purchase food.
No, I disagree with you. To purchase food, you can have just a contract with one human adult to another human adult? That's ridiculous. We need to start mutilating our children without parental consent. What is wrong with you, Thomas Massey? We should be focusing on the mutilation of our children and mutilate them some more without any adult supervision at all. Just the government telling us what to do.
I'm sorry, I forgot. The key to good health is always multiple vaccines and mind-controlling drugs. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I got off the narrative here for a second.
I know. I have to tell you that when I saw that you said that, you know, you can't do it over state lines, I thought to myself, and maybe Mike talked to you about this. I mean, you're smart enough to know this is what the Commerce Clause. This is what threw the Commerce Clause under the bus. That, you know, they regulate all commerce. But it was supposed to be between states, but it happened because of wheat. And they said, well, you know, that wheat, it you know, its pollen kind of goes in the air and goes across state lines. So we have to regulate that now. So how are you thinking you're going to get this across?
Well, and this is actually to countermand that horrible Supreme Court decision where they said a guy couldn't grow his own wheat and feed it to his own animals because if he grew his own wheat, he wasn't buying wheat in interstate commerce. And so that he was affecting interstate commerce by introducing more wheat into the overall supply, even though none of it crossed state lines.
And so that's what it was. You're right.
Yeah. And this is to countermand that horrible decision that the Supreme Court made. And that's why I said, you know, food products which do not move across state lines. Instead of saying interstate commerce, we have to physically say if it's not going across state lines, then it's not state commerce. And that Supreme Court decision, if people want to look it up, was Wickard v. Filburn.
Yes, Wickard v. Filburn. That is such it's been years since I've read it. That court case changed everything. And, you know, I don't know if we can get Congress to pass anything anymore, but thank you for the common sense on this and the bill. You're not voting for the bill, right?
Oh, heck no. By the way, I think it was Mike Lee suggested I could name my constitutional amendment Roscoe Filburn's Revenge.
All right, Thomas, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Glenn.
That would have been a fun, like, M. Night Shyamalan twist if he voted for the bill at the end of that interview. He's like, I'm totally
That's why I had to ask. No, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, got to pass it. So otherwise the world melts down.
And I think, by the way, we should know, I think that was perhaps the nerdiest joke ever made on the show, the Roscoe Filburn reference. I think that was, I applaud Thomas Massey. That is perhaps
It's not often. He's writing it in his diary today. I had a chance to use that joke today. Why make the switch to Patriot Mobile from your old phone service today? Two words, parallel economy. also because you have a few more days where you're going to save even more than usual. Until March 31st, you can get a free month of service when you make the switch to Patriot Mobile. All you have to do is go to patriotmobile.com/back and use the offer code SPRING24. SPRING24. This is such a no-brainer. You think it's going to be a hassle. I don't have the time. The people are all Americans. They work here in America. They're from America, so they speak English. They understand what you're saying. Beyond that, they're going to save you money and make switching super, super easy. You'll also save money because you have a month free and a lower monthly phone bill as well. And they support the country. What are you waiting for? Get your mobile phone service now from patriotmobile.com/Beck. Patriotmobile.com/Beck. 972 Patriot. Now back to the podcast.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes.
We have another horse on the highway. Yes, horses on the highway. This is a horse galloping down I-76 in Philadelphia. Beautiful racehorse. No idea how it found an on-ramp, but it did. And that's kind of what the world we live in. Gee, haven't seen this one before. Now, what I'm going to show you here is something we haven't seen before, but it's not just a horse on the highway. It's a horse on the highway with a chimpanzee holding Braveheart's sword on top of the horse on the highway. This is something you've never heard before. You remember the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party linked company named Goshen. We talked about it, I don't know, a while back. They, the town council had made some agreement with this Communist Party company, Goshen, to come in and build this huge factory in their town. Well, the board didn't actually talk to the people about it. What they had was a development agreement, and it was supposed to be ratified. But by the time that it came out to the public and the public heard about it, they kicked and got all of the members off of that board evicted. They were all recalled. But now that's the horse on the highway. Here is the monkey with the broadsword on top. So the Communist Party of China is now suing this American township for breach of contract. So we have the communists suing their way in to a town in America. Well, okay. So what else is new? Bruce Baker is here. He is from Mikosta Environmental and Security Alliance. He's the president of that. And he has all the details on this. Wow, Bruce, I've never heard anything like this.
You're right, Glenn. And thanks, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. It's an honor to be talking with you, and I appreciate this Thank opportunity you. To bring this forward.
Thank you.
You're right. Yes, you're right, though. There was a development agreement that was, in my view, improperly executed between Goshen and the old township board, in particular, not even really with the board, just with the supervisor, and then attested by the clerk. And so what happened was the township supervisor was working on this development agreement with Goshen. And he brought what was called a first draft of the development agreement to an August 1st meeting of the board. They discussed the first draft, and then, but it wasn't complete. First draft, like a rough draft, not complete. So the board approved for the supervisor to continue working with Goshen, the CCP-tied EV and whatever lithium battery company, to continue working with Goshen to finalize that development agreement. And it wasn't just some small, minor finalizing. It was the terms and conditions is what they approved for him to finalize that.
Right. Okay.
And then obviously, you know, Glenn, you would need, okay, you have a first draft. They say, supervisor, go finalize it with the company, Goshen. And then, of course, bring that back in a final version so that the board and the public can review it, and so that they can then vote, that the board in a public meeting can vote on it. That never happened.
I mean, even the communist, state of Michigan has an Open Meetings Act, don't they? I mean, where you have to have everything done in public. Yes.
That's
okay.
Exactly what it is. The Michigan statute, Open Meetings Act, requires, this is a public body, the township board is a public body, they're required to have all decisions, discussions, and votes made in a public forum, in a public meeting, you know, with proper notification, all that. So what happened, Glenn, is just 3 weeks after the board told Jim Chapman, the then supervisor, and by the way, he was under a recall process at that time. He was up. He was up for a couple months for recall. So he's trying to jam this thing through, and they had lots of pressure on him to jam this thing through. Why? Because Goshen wouldn't get $125 million of Michigan CIP grant money if they didn't have
in
place. So they knew they had to jam this through before they got pulled, before they, you know, potentially were going to get, you know, thrown out of office, which is exactly what happened. All five of the eligible board members did get recalled and thrown out of office and replaced. But anyways, so 3 weeks, so they reviewed the first draft of the agreement on August 1st. And then on August 22nd, Jim Chapman signed a final agreement. And who was the other signer on there? Chen Li, the president of Goshen. Okay, I believe he's a CCP member himself, or Chen Li. Anyways, he signed it. Jim Chapman signed it. The clerk attested to Jim's signature. So there's three signatures on the document. But this was on August 22nd. There was no meeting of the board between August 1st and August 22nd. And so so that final document never came back to the board for discussion, for review, for public comment. I mean, that's the most important thing. This is a board that's supposed to be working for the people, but instead they do this behind the scenes backdoor deal to get this thing signed. Why? Because there's a lot of money riding on it, right? And they just want it done. You know, Jim Chapman and the old board, they were kind of characterized by not listening to the public. They repeatedly, the public asked, just do a survey, get the public's opinion about this Goshen. They refused to. Every surrounding township did surveys regarding this Goshen plant, but Green Charter Township under the old board refused to even do a survey. All of the surveys, they came back 60, 70, 80% that they didn't want the Goshen facility here. And even an outside company came in and did a survey in Green Township, and that came back like 80, 90%. People didn't want that Goshen plant there. It's not like a small little band of people who are saying, you know, we don't want this. It's the vast majority. But the old board, they had kind of gotten brainwashed or gaslighted or whatever.
Well, no, they're
dug in their heels.
They're just doing it the way China does it, which is, you know, one man, he signs everything, he makes all the decisions. That's the way you do it in China. Why not here? So what's going to happen? They've taken you to court. Yeah. What's going to happen here? Did Goshen get the money from the state?
Okay, so that's a great question. They got $23.6 million. So not all of the $125 million. Okay, the development agreement was put in place, but I allege that it was improperly put in place. Okay, it was signed, but we believe that's a void, invalid document. And so they did get, Goshen received over $23 million to purchase land. Now, the state of Michigan, if that development agreement is invalid, the state of Michigan holds a mortgage on that land, and they could theoretically claw that land back, you know. But anyways, they didn't get the other $100 million yet because they have to hit certain milestones. Until they hit those milestones, they have to have a development agreement in place. Otherwise, they're not even eligible. So this federal, there's a new board who is taking steps to not participate like the old board did, not to be as welcoming as the old board did, because they ran on a no-go-tion position. And so the new board has said, we're not going to support you. And so now, but the development agreement says you have to support us, okay? And so that's what Gosin's suing over in federal court right now. They're saying, the new board, you're not supporting us like the development agreement requires you to. See, the old board was trying to hand tie the new board. Fortunately, they really screwed up and they improperly executed that development agreement. So in my view, that and many others, a lot of attorneys, a lot of people who know township and Open Meeting Act law have reviewed this, and we believe that that development agreement is invalid. And really, Gosin, they're bringing it to federal court. That's the first thing that they're asking the judge to rule on. Is this development agreement valid or not valid? And I, you know, just have to pray that the judge does the right thing. The judge stands for the people that who were, you know, the people are the ones whose rights were trampled, you know, in this by not following the Open Meetings Act, so that the judge would stand with the people and say that, no, that development agreement's no good. You've got to go back to the starting board.
Well, I think we're saying the same thing here, Bruce, but I want to make sure. I don't want somebody that is a judge that's standing with the people. I want him to stand with the law. And if this is the way it is, then that's the way it is. I can't imagine being Gosin wanting to build my plant in a city where it's entirely hostile to me.
Absolutely. You know, and that's, again, a great point, you know, Glenn. So Chuck Phelan, so he's, I believe, the VP of Northern American Operations for Gosin. So he's the highest Gosin guy here. He said at a meeting, he said, well, look, if the, this was earlier on, well, if the people of the area don't want it, in other words, the plant, if they don't want Gosin to build here, we'll just go somewhere else. Well, it couldn't be more clear that the people of the community do not want this. I mean, five surrounding townships all came back with surveys that said they don't. We recalled the entire eligible, you know, the entire board.
I don't think I've ever seen that happen.
Right. Yeah. Right. And other surveys have done. It's like we've got, you know, this summer we had hundreds of signs around no Gosin. And so it's like it's really clear that the community majority, there's a handful, there's some people who are for it because they think that they'll sell land at, you know, way more than it's worth, or it'll prop up their business. You know, I get that, you know, that's fine. But most people just don't want it because of the environmental potential, you know, problems, as well as the CCP ties. I'm surprised though that Chuck Phelan wasn't more of a man of his word on that, because he says, look, if the people don't want it here, we'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, clearly the people don't want it, and they're just digging in their heels and they're just trying to shove it in.
All right. If you want to help be involved, when does this go to court?
That's not known yet. I mean, there's going to be a lot of steps. We're working right now on declarations, you know, where individuals are signing declarations. And there's a lot of work I had to do. We're going to be filing a demand letter. You know, Mesa's going to be pretty active.
If somebody wants to help you, Bruce, how do they do it?
Well, if they went to our website, and I hate to, you know, be that guy, because I know everybody's looking for donations, but, you know, we could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in not just this fight, but other fights against Gosin, but www.protectmecosta.org, and Mecosta is Mecosta. So www.protectmecosta.org, or you can just Google Mesa, M-E-S-A, you know, Gosin, Mesa, Michigan, Gosin, and it'll come up, because we've been pretty active. But if you go to our website and donate, we're probably going to end up with hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal costs. And we need to put on, you know, the fight.
All right. protectmecosta.org. You can go there and donate if you can. Get involved. This is first time I've seen a foreign hostile country take a town in America to court to force them to be able to open up a factory from that communist hostile country. It's insane and can't stand. Bruce Baker, thank you very much. It's protectmecosta.org.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hello, Hugh. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
It is so great to meet you. I think you were in studio last week with me, and your podcast has come out. It is fascinating. You're a fascinating guy. But I wanted to bring Stu in because Stu is our, he's our client. He's our, you know, climate change skeptic. You know, he, unlike you and me, they just think that this whole thing is a sham. And you, we were in the hallway afterwards and you showed me a book that you have on climate change. And I thought, oh, I wish I would have asked you. Come on the show. So today's the day. Let's talk about climate change and global warming.
Yeah, well, there is a lot of skepticism about global warming. I think that skepticism is gone based on some studies that were published a year ago where they basically looked at temperature records, not on the continents, but a couple of hundred miles offshore all around the world. That way you take out the elevation effect. And you're right at sea level. And it basically shows that the climate has been exceptionally stable from 900 AD to about 1950 AD. Stable to within plus or minus 0.06 degrees centigrade. It's never happened before in human history. It's unique to our time. And that's how we were able to launch technology and civilization at such a rapid rate during that time. And what it shows is that the natural cycles are cooling the planet. They've been cooling the planet since about 9,500 years ago. That's been balanced by human activity warming the planet. And for 9,500 years, they were in almost perfect balance. The climate very slowly cooled, but only by 1 degree over 9,500 years. What's happened since 1950 is human activity has accelerated, and so it's now superseding the natural cooling cycles, and it's gone up by 1 degree centigrade in the past 70 years. And the concern is if it goes up another degree or two, that could melt the winter polar ice cap, and if that happens, then we bring on global cooling. That brings on the next ice age.
Right. So this, Stu, see, I told you global cooling and global warming was real. Now, Hugh, how does this play into humans and what we should be doing? Do you buy into all of the, you know, we should put sun umbrellas out? In space?
No, I don't.
Or
I mean,
any of that?
That's why I wrote the book Weathering Climate Change, is to make the point we can restabilize the climate while we boost the world economy. We don't need politicians to get involved because if you give people strong enough economic incentive, they'll do it right away. And so I load the book up with all these ways that we can substantially boost the world economy while we stabilize the climate and at the same time enhance the world's ecosystems so that everybody wins. There really are win-win solutions out there.
So give me some simple ones that we could do.
Well, a really simple one, and it's already been implemented in the Western nations, is to stop burning coal and burn natural gas instead. When you do that, you release only about half the greenhouse gases that you do with coal. There's no particulate matter pollution, so you solve a major health crisis. In fact, I just wrote an article saying that in parts of India, the life expectancy is shortened by 8 years. That's for 460 million people. Their life expectancy is shortened by 8 years because of burning coal instead of natural gas. Well,
okay, but wait, hang on just a second, Hugh. Hang on just a second. I was with a scientific, you know, eco guy just the other day, and he said, "No, Glenn, natural gas is just as bad. That's why the government is trying to stop all natural gas as well. And I'm like, dude, for years you told us it was the cleanest. Now you're telling us it's deadly as well?
Well, it does release greenhouse gases. I don't look at natural gas as a permanent solution, but I think it would buy us the time we need to come up with what I think is a great solution, thorium nuclear reactors. Thorium nuclear reactors are not like uranium nuclear reactors. The radioactive waste is safe to handle after 100 to 200 years instead of 50,000 years. It's impossible to have a meltdown. You can't use it to make nuclear weapons. And it delivers 300 times the energy that you get from uranium. And thorium is three times more abundant. It actually has the potential to deliver electricity for us for much less than what we get from water power, which is currently the cheapest source of energy we have on the planet. But it's going to take at least a decade to scale it up to where it could supply all of our energy. Natural gas will buy us that time. And in the meantime, it cuts greenhouse gas emissions by about a half. It's the fastest way we can lower greenhouse gas emissions. I mean, the problem with solar and wind, it's going to take time to scale it up. And solar and wind also have ecological consequences that you don't get with thorium. And
hang on just a second. You say it's going to take 10 years to ramp this up. I've never heard of thorium. I've never heard of a thorium nuclear reactor. I think it might take a little longer because nobody is talking about that, Hugh.
Well, they are now for example, India is facing a major health crisis. As I said, the life expectancy is now 12 years less if you live in Delhi, 8 years less if you live in the Ganges Valley. For the country as a whole, it's 5 years less. And then, by the way, coal is more expensive than natural gas. And so, India actually sits on a lot of thorium. And incidentally, we had thorium nuclear reactors in the 1960s. The reason why we didn't scale them up back then, you can't use them to make nuclear weapons. But now that's considered an advantage. We could actually give nuclear reactors to rogue countries and not worry that they're going to use it to make nuclear weapons.
I have a woman on next week's podcast. She's amazing. She's this entrepreneur. She's a black woman from Africa. And I'm trying to remember what country in Africa. And she moved to the West when she was young. And the first thing she thought was, why do they have all of these things that we don't have in Africa? And one of the things is because you don't have energy. You know, you're still burning wood to cook your food. And she thinks it's a little racist of people to tell the continent of Africa, you can't have power because of global warming, so you're going to be stuck there. And we talked about nuclear power. Nuclear power, hydrogen, those are the things of the future, I think. Natural gas even, but now that's on the no-no list. But I don't think, Hugh, that there's a lot of people that are in a part of this movement that are not political now. And it's all about pushing ideas that are very, very expensive, will cripple everything, and wouldn't work.
Well, you know, if you try to get people to sacrifice their standard of living, they're going to find a way to cheat. And if they don't, somebody else will. So that's why I'm convinced we have to give people a strong economic incentive. You mentioned Africa. The Sahara Desert has been expanding because people have been stripping wood off the edge for fuel. How about giving the Africans all the kerosene they want for free on the promise that they'll work with us to shrink the Sahara Desert? At the time of the Roman Empire, the Sahara Desert was one-tenth the size that it is today. If we were to shrink it, number one, it would provide an economic income because they could grow grain in what is now the Sahara Desert. It would soak up greenhouse gases, so it helps stabilize the climate. And again, everybody wins. The ecosystem would recover. They have an income they don't have now, and we pull greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere.
So
we could do the same thing here in North America. Yeah, go ahead.
I've only got about a minute left, but I grew up hearing that we breathe out CO2 and the trees breathe it in, and they breathe out oxygen and we breathe in oxygen, and it was kind of the circle of life thing. How come we're not really standing on that anymore? When did it become such a problem that it, you know, was killing everything?
Well, I'm advocating that we let lumber companies go into our national parks and selectively harvest the big old trees, because they don't pull many greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere. They're in danger of dying and decaying and releasing greenhouse gases. Replant them with young trees, they'll pull greenhouse gases at a factor 2 to 4 times more. The ecosystem will recover, because that's healthier for that. And we won't be seeing a lot of dead trees in the national forest.
Yeah, you won't.
You'll get
right. You won't have forest fires. Right.
So,
but they are now closing all of that off. I mean, there are common sense solutions to everything, and we don't seem to hear about them very often. Hugh Ross, astrophysicist, global warming, and what can be done. His website is reasons.org. I can't tell you, Hugh, how much I enjoyed our conversation the other day about Genesis and how everything is explained, that Genesis actually explains the scientific pattern on how everything is created. And I just found it fascinating. Thank you so much, Hugh.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you.
You got it. You get that podcast wherever you get your podcasts, wherever it's available, get your podcast now. And tomorrow that one will be available.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.